allergies, itchy eyes or skin, cold or sore throat, tummy trouble, aches and pains? Think pharmacy first. Your local pharmacy is your expert NHS health team, treating a wide range of common illnesses and health concerns, with no need to visit your GP. Remember, always keep a well-stocked medicine cabinet and order repeat prescriptions in plenty of time. Find your local pharmacy at nhs.uk/findapharmacy. NHS, here to help.
This is the North East and North Cumbria Providers Podcast, highlighting the fantastic work taking place across the region to provide the highest quality of care.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Providers Podcast. I'm your host, Harry Newhouse, and on today's episode, we'll be talking about the Provider Collaborative's Mutual Support Framework. To discuss this with me, I'm joined by County Durham and Darlington NHS Foundation Trust Executive Director of Operations, Lorraine Nelson, and Associate Director of Operations, Felicity White. Welcome to the podcast, Lorraine and Felicity.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Harry.
Let's start off with quick introductions. Lorraine, I'll start with you. You're the Executive Director of Operations here at County Durham and Darlington. What does that role entail?
I think that's quite a tricky question, Harry. As with most roles, every day can be quite different, but fundamentally the role really involves working with lots of different staff that are passionate about the care we provide to improve services and access for our patients.
I can imagine it's very busy and...
Particularly at this time of year, so beginning of January, as with most organisations, winter pressures and surges in attendances can be quite a challenge, but lots of staff around trying to make sure that patient get timely access.
And what's your previous experience within the NHS before you became Executive Director of Operations?
So I have worked in the NHS for over 30 years. A predominant amount of that was in another acute trust within NHNC, so that was a STSFT. I started as a band 2, renumbering case notes in medical records, actually, for implementation of a new patient access system. From there, I went on to work in finance and I was supported to study for a CEMA qualification and stayed in finance probably about 20 years, working in every different division, but also lots of different departments within financial management and cost accounting. Post maternity leave, came back and was placed within medicine care group and worked very closely with the clinical and operational teams. And an opportunity came up to move sideways into an operational management role, which I was successful in. So then the last 10 years of my career have been within ops.
Brilliant. And STSFT, just to clarify, is South Tyneside and Sunderland.
It's South Tyneside and Sunderland. Originally Sunderland as I started, and then as Sunderland and South Tyneside merged, what was South Tyneside and Sunderland Foundation Trust.
And Felicity, could you explain a bit about your role here at County Durham and Darlington?
Yes, so I'm Associate Director of Operations for the Surgery Care Group. So there's six different care groups within County Durham and Darlington Trust, and surgery is one of those six. So I have surgery, all the surgical specialties and theatres within my remit. And my day-to-day role really is I head up operationally surgery, which is elective, so planned care, and non-elective emergency care. And I suppose for the purposes of the mutual support group, it's particularly the elective recovery aspect of my role that links in with the mutual support group work.
Brilliant. And firstly, you just mentioned there the mutual support framework, and that's what we're here today to talk about. Could you both tell us what this is?
So we started the group probably November 23, so it's been running just over a year. Every acute trust within NHNC has committed to provide an individual lead from each organisation, so there's really strong representation from each different acute trust, consistent representation. So I think that's one of probably the key strengths of the group, that it's the same individuals that come on a weekly basis and have conversations around how can we work differently together to provide timely patient care. It was originally set up probably to look at some of those really long waiting patients, and actually what was 104-week waits and then down to 78-week waits, and trying to work collectively around how can we support each other in providing care to those patients and reduce the number of patients that are waiting a really long time.
You mentioned that the mutual support framework is helping waiting lists across the region. Why was there a need for this, and why was there a need for Foundation Trust to come together collaboratively to do this?
During COVID, every acute trust responded slightly differently. Some acute trusts had the ability to continue with a lot of their elective care. Other acute trusts didn't have the same capacity, ability to provide as much care during COVID. Therefore, we've all had quite different waiting list positions as a starting point coming out of recovery. Some trusts within the region are tertiary centres and provide quite specialist care, some don't. So there was quite a lot of variability, and within that, we all then had a different starting point, which meant that recovery phase was more challenged perhaps in some organisations than others. I think what we all felt was actually, as a system, is there a different way we can work together to try and bring down that long length of wait, and actually can we work together to transfer patients clearly in line with patient choice and their ability to move between organisations to provide care. Some of the blockages previously have been things like IT and systems or finance, and whose performance would that sit within, particularly around long waits where it was managed and kind of visible nationally. So I think some of the discussions have very much been actually what are the principles that we're all going to work within, and then how do we support patients to move within the system.
Yeah, and for me, foundation trusts in the past were set up to be competitive, mm-hmm. and the difference for me in this is it has been really collaborative, and its fundamental principle is what is the best thing for the patient rather than what is the best thing for the organisation. And I think the provider collaborative working in partnership with the foundation trusts has started to open some of the more tricky conversations around who pays for it, whose performance is it. Actually, that should be an afterthought. The prime thing we should be doing is the right thing for patients, and I think that's worked really well over the last 12, 18 months.
And I think that is probably one of the principles we set up, that it was always around the best endeavours for patient care. The other areas are secondary, and if we've signed off those agreements, as Felicity's referenced, then actually, as long as we keep the patient in the centre of the conversation, we fundamentally all try and work as one to provide that care.
How do the trusts work together to help patients get seen to quicker and only help reduce waiting times across the region?
One of the things we mentioned earlier was that we've got really consistent representation, so we've got a consistent rep from each acute trust. Part of the agenda, and it's a weekly check-in, is that we do go round each individual from each individual organisation to kind of have a little bit of a check-in. How are you? How are things going? Where are you from a waiting list perspective? And is there anything that you feel anyone in this group can support with from a patient care point of view? That gives each organisation a bit of an opportunity to share, actually, if they're having any concerns around particular aspects of service provision, whether that be urology, whether that be trauma and orthopaedics, whether actually some of that's around validation and patient access for choice. Within that process, each individual organisation can then offer up support. So actually, some of the examples that Felicity may go on to are one particular organisation may be really struggling from a foot and ankle perspective. That affords a discussion opportunity in the group to look at, actually, has anybody else got the ability to either provide additional staffing to support and move across to a different organisation, or actually have what we would define as a fellow theatre session where patients can move and be cared for in another organisation. So for me, that check-in process as part of the discussion in the weekly meetings allow that discussion to take place and fundamentally help bring down the waiting lists.
I suppose I would like to give a couple of examples, if that's okay. So what you tend to find is there are kind of key pressure areas that seem to be the same across all the organisations. So one of the big ones is trauma and orthopaedics. So that's what we found during the pandemic, is we only really did the urgent surgery because of the risk for patients. We did the urgent surgery, which meant people waiting for routine surgery, in particular hips and knee replacements. We created this huge backlog that you quite regularly hear about in the news. It's taken a long time to start making progress with those backlogs. We are, as a region, in a much better position than we were, but there's still quite a lot of pressure around hips and knees that's been felt really pretty much all the organisations to different degrees are still struggling with that particular cohort of patients. And then more specific, if I give a couple of examples, so plastic surgery and dermatology, there's only two or three organisations within the region that offer that service. We are one of them. Newcastle's had a lot of challenge around plastics and dermatology, so we took some patients for Newcastle. Likewise, we have a pressure with a very specific area called corneal graft surgery, which is ophthalmic or eye surgery. We lost our consultant that provided that surgery, but still had patients on our waiting list. So we have an arrangement with Sunderland and South Tyneside Hospital that they help with that particular pressure area by providing a surgeon for us who comes and does that surgery in our organisation. And numbers are very small, but for those individual patients to be able to get that corneal graft surgery has been life-changing, and we've had some really nice feedback from the patients around how that working together has given them their life back, really. So it's a really positive group, and for me, it's probably bigger than what it's set out to be. So initially it was about waiting times, but because you've got that same cohort of people coming, we've built really good relationships. So most of the people on the group are my equivalents, probably with slightly different titles, but my equivalents across different organisations. And therefore, we've been able to help each other with other things. So, for example, Northumbria have recently come and done a theatre peer review visit for us at CDDFT. I wouldn't have had that link if I hadn't met the equivalent person in the mutual support group. So it's helped build relationships that I think are quite unique to the North East. If I'm honest, I think we are seen to be a really positive region that works really collaboratively together. And so it's been far more wide-reaching than just managing waiting times, I would suggest.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's some of the other areas are aware of shared best practice. So actually, from a job planning perspective or a theatre utilisation around how you plan your sessions, we've had something called Bubbling as a presentation from Northumbria, or Superlists from the QE, and how they've managed to deliver additional sessions on a weekend in a very different way, but for particular cohorts of patients that they find have either higher DNAs or have got longer waiting lists. So whilst it started very much around reducing the number of patients waiting an excessive period of time, I think exactly as Felicity said, what it's actually managed to do is build a bit of a collaborative platform for staff as well and the individuals within that to share learning with each other that ultimately then also improve how we provide patient care across the system. So whilst it was around reducing waiting lists, I think it's definitely opened up into a much broader conversation.
You mentioned staff there. Has the mutual support framework been beneficial not just to patients but also to staff, as you mentioned?
We have supported moving resource around the system. So I think there's been shared learning for individuals that form part of the group. I've definitely learned from some of the presentations that have been discussed within the forum. I think particularly around the opportunity for training and peer reviews has given that ability for staff to probably learn from it as well. I'm not sure, Felicity, if you think there's any key benefits other than that networking arrangement over and above.
Yeah, I think theatre planning and managing patients into theatre appointments is really, really complicated. And I think the next bit we need to do, which is the really tricky bit, is how do we use the resource we've got across the region in a really proactive and timely way? And that's a piece that we keep having conversations around, and that would really benefit staff and patients, but it's complicated. And it requires us to work differently, very differently transformational, really. But that's kind of where we're trying to get to. I think there's a lot more we can do, but we're in the very complex territory now, and it's how do we take those next steps, I think.
And there is some crossover with some of the other work streams that sit under the Strategic Elective Care Board. So there's another work stream that's chaired by one of the other coups within NEC, and that is very much around the theatre capacity and your theatre capacity planning, but also how the staff within their work. And one of the key areas we've all felt from the mutual support, or that's come up quite a few times, is the pre-op assessment. And actually, is there any standardisation of preoperative assessment that would therefore make the number of patients that can move between the system more? And so we're kind of trying to link in a little bit more with some of those work streams as well.
Yeah,
Brilliant. And so we mentioned that we work to, all the foundation trusts in the region work together, but like, so how do we do that? Because Lorraine, you chair the Mutual Spot Coordination Group. What is this group and who's involved? So is it all the foundation trusts involved in this group?
So it is every single acute foundation trust within NENC. We don't have any representation from the mental health organisations, the CNTW or TUV, but every other acute trust within NENC. We have representation from Provider Collaborative as well in terms of that information support and any kind of analysis that's required around the outside. I think Felicity's mentioned kind of the key individuals. There's a lot of operational leads from a surgical or theatre perspective that are the reps from each group, but there's also some performance or information staff. So actually there's quite a good combination of people that have that conversation from the different acute trusts to try and work through how can we support patients to move.
And ultimately, what's the collective goal of the group?
So the collective goals, interestingly, will change because clearly we're going to get new annual planning guidance that might change some of the focus. Initially, it was very much around removal of 104-week waits, removal of 78-week waits. The last kind of year or so, we've more been concentrating on eliminating the number of patients waiting over 65 weeks. We have some conversations around 52 weeks, so predominantly that longer waiting curve being pulled back to back within pre-COVID national constitutional standards and ultimately moving forward looking to improve our referral to treatment times with the aspiration of 92% as it comes through as part of the planning. Softer, I think some of the key aims of the group is definitely develop a network so that actually individuals have got somewhere else to reach out, have that learning and sharing opportunity for improving how we provide patient care, but also best practice. And if there is any areas that somebody's implemented, whether that be computer system or a technique, actually how do we build a platform so we can also share some of that information and hopefully spread that best practice across the system a lot quicker.
And over the last 12 months, the North East and North Cumbria have had some of the best waiting times across, like, nationwide. Do you think the mutual support framework and the coordination group has had a role to play with that?
I think the people within the group rather than the group have helped in terms of that sharing and reducing wait lists. Overall, I think since we started, we've probably provided care from a mutual support perspective for over 1,000 patients, which shouldn't be underestimated in terms of the support for them and their care.
And in your opinion, has the mutual support framework, as you mentioned there, has had a key role in reducing the waiting times, but has it been successful to date, and is there more we can do?
I think as with everything, there's always more we can do. I think the foundations are strong within the group, and that builds us a platform to move forward on the continuing journey for improvement.
Yeah, and I think for me, I go to a lot of meetings, and you can usually tell how successful something is by how many people attend it, and it is a really well attended meeting. And even when we're on leave, we would always ask someone to attend on our behalf, and that doesn't happen with all meetings. So I think you can quite often tell by meeting attendance how successful it is from the point of view of whether the people who attend it think it's good use of their time. And it is a very well attended meeting.
Yeah, it is.
And I definitely think, as Lorraine said, there's always more to do, but I definitely think it has set out what it achieved to do in the first place.
Brilliant. Have you got any examples of, like you mentioned there, about corneal?
Corneal grafts, plastics. We've also taken some foot and ankle patients from South Tyneside and Sunderland who had a particular challenge. So it's quite nice to see, whilst we're helping, if I use the example of Sunderland and South Tyneside, we're helping them with foot and ankle, they're helping us with ophthalmology. And I think anyone who can help does help.
Yeah.
But also sometimes it's just nice to realise that we're all experiencing similar challenges, because the achievement of the reduced waiting times has been a huge effort from a huge number, hundreds, thousands of people. And sometimes just that peer support and that peer, you know, we're all feeling the same challenges. But what's also really nice is the recognition from the Provider Collaborative in particular as how well we have done, and that it's all been worth the effort for the number of patients that we've treated.
Brilliant. That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you, Lorraine and Felicity, for taking us through the mutual support framework.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Providers Podcast. Hit subscribe to keep up to date with the latest news and catch up with what we've been up to on our website and social media pages.